Hey, everybody. This is Bobby Walker with the Journey of a New Entrepreneur podcast. Another pretty cool guest that I have on today. But before I get into that, just want to say thank you for tuning in. And if you want to see some of the other stuff that I'm doing, don't forget to check out Journey of a New Entrepreneur on YouTube. That's where most of my content is, and that's where you can just kind of follow along and see what it's been like for me from day one, literally, of starting my business because I found out I was losing my job, all the way to, at this point, I'm 19 months into it, and there's been lots of victories, there's been lots of failures. You know, my son is my business partner, and you'll see our relationship, how we've had struggles and successes in that, and how we've made a lot of money and how we've made no money and how I've been worried about paying the bills and how I felt like the king of the world. And all of that was on day one. So it's actually been a pretty cool experience. So if you want to tune in there, you can do that. And of course, there's the Journey of a New Entrepreneur Facebook page. And that is simply just a good place if you want to connect with me, if you want to chat with me, you can send me a message there. It's a good place for us to have a communication. So that being said, thanks for checking us out. And last, if you are listening to this, don't forget to give us a review on iTunes. I don't even know why. It's like I'm not making money with this thing. A review doesn't really matter to me, but it's just kind of like a vanity metric for me. So the more people that give me reviews and five stars, I feel like a cooler person. So I would appreciate that. And now I'm just going to get right into it. So today we have Chris Schwab with us. And here's what's really cool about this. He's here all the way from Tokyo. So if you're watching live, or not live, but if you're watching the YouTube video of this and not just listening to audio, you see the entire Tokyo cityscape behind him. Super cool. And it's just super awesome. And Chris said, you know, Bob, I know that you might be having a beer while we're recording today, but I'm just drinking water because that's what, you know, when in Rome, you drink like the Tokyoans, or is that what they're called? Tokyoans? What are they called? People in Tokyo.
Maybe Tokyoites? I'm not sure.
Tokyoites. Anyway, Chris, hey man, thanks for joining me. So welcome to the episode. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, man. I've been watching you do this for like a year now, so it's really cool to actually be on here.
Oh, what? Are you just saying that to like sound cool, like since you're on here to act like we're tight, or have you really been doing that?
No, man. So I have my cleaning business about 2.5 years, but I followed your Reddit posts the whole time you've been doing them, and I've followed your podcast since the beginning. So I actually really mean that.
I didn't realize that. That's cool. That's awesome. I mean, I know we connected, I don't even remember. I think the first time, because, you know, of course we haven't talked a lot. So for anyone listening or watching, Chris and I, we're not tight. We've had some, we've kind of passed each other going down the hallway, you could say, online, and we've made a couple of comments back and forth to each other. He threatened me one time, said he didn't like the way I look.
Jump me. That's how I got on here. I threatened him.
So that's cool. I didn't realize that you're one of my dozen of listeners. So thanks for that. And man. Hey, listen. For my sake and for everyone else's, give us like the 90-second rundown of like who you are. Like, take your entire life and give it to us in 90 seconds.
Ooh, okay.
And then we'll dig into it later. So just give us the high points.
Sure. So I sound American, but I'm actually British. I grew up in the UK for most of my life. I went to university in the US. That's why I lost my accent, unfortunately.
Okay.
And gained an American accent at the young age of 19 somehow.
Wow. But, that's impressive. That's, I don't know if it's impressive. That's weird. That's cool.
It is weird. Yeah. Most people lose their accent at 8 or 9, but 19, I don't know what happened. I grew up in the UK for most of my life, half in London, half in the countryside, which is nice. Trying to think what else is even remotely interesting.
Well, how old are you now?
I'm 25 now.
So. 25 now. Okay.
Yeah. I've been out of university for a couple of years. Not to dive into like business too quickly or anything, but just the 90-second overview.
Yeah.
I currently own 3 different companies. I own a cleaning company, a virtual assistant company for 4 local businesses, and a hiring platform to help local businesses hire people. So those are my main 3 businesses, but outside of the business world, I'm really into martial arts, really into bouldering, which is a form of climbing where you don't use safety equipment, but it's not too high off. Mm-hmm. You may have heard of it. It's getting more popular.
Well, when you just talk about not using safety equipment, I'm like, okay, this guy's kind of crazy now. So I don't know what we have on the podcast at this point, but that's nuts.
So I make it sound worse than it is. So like climbing, you're usually like hundreds of feet up, right?
Yeah.
But with bouldering, you're maybe 15 or 20 feet up, and there's giant crash mats beneath you. There's like a whole platform of crash mats.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because have you ever fell on your head from 15 feet? Because
I would not be here.
Yeah, right. But you got mats. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So you boulder. You do, what kind of martial arts do you do? I'm a big fan of the sport of mixed martial arts. So are you in that realm, or what do you do?
I have a lot of respect for mixed martial arts, but I'm kind of a traditional geek in a sense. Like I grew up on a lot of karate films, a lot of Bruce Lee films. Mm-hmm. So I've always had this passion for the traditional martial arts. I've done a lot of karate, a little bit of Wing Chun. I'm starting to get into judo. I did a couple lessons in London, but I want to continue it here. Obviously, I'm in Japan. So at some point, I'd love to take some judo lessons from the Kodokan, which is like the original judo dojo. Mm-hmm. So those are where I'm kind of going towards.
So as we're just kind of digging into you, and as I'm kind of learning about you, because something, again, it's funny. A lot of the times when I have a guest on the podcast, they'll say, we don't know each other that well, and we're just getting to know each other. And I don't know if people believe me or not, but that's really the case. So I'm, we're just kind of filling each other out here. But you, so you live in Tokyo now, right? So you're some 25-year-old dude. You're from the UK. You went to university in the US, and now you're in Tokyo. It's like, have you backpacked across Europe yet?
A little bit. So I don't want to, I hate the term digital nomad, but I do travel a lot. So I'm in Tokyo half the year because of visa issues. I have a partner here. Mm-hmm. But until we marry, I can't actually stay here full time. I'm here for about 6 months of the year. And then I'm in London for a few months of the year, US a few months of the year. So kind of everywhere. I just spent a month in Greece. But I guess Tokyo is kind of my base.
All right. So is it just there for just because of the personal relationships, or was there something else that took you there and then you made the relationship? Right. What is it about Tokyo?
Oh, I mean, like 10 second overview of the relationship. I lived in South Korea for a little bit where I met my current girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't Korean. She's Japanese. Mm-hmm. So I kind of came to Japan to be with her as much as I could. But honestly, Japan is a wonderful country anyway. I'm really into nature and hiking and things like that. Mm-hmm. And Japan is like one of the best places in the world for that type of stuff. So, I came because of the girlfriend, but I'm staying for many reasons besides her too.
I'm a little jealous because I feel like I've lived this adventurous life over the last few years because I'm from Oklahoma my whole life. And then I've lived in Florida and Virginia in the last 3 years. And I thought I was really kind of extreme, but bro, you're putting me to shame and you're only 25. I'm like almost twice your age. I'm 40 and I don't know martial arts and I've not been to Japan. So like, you're kind of making me feel bad about myself today. So
man, you can, the thing is, it's a lot cheaper than you think to live abroad. Like could, if you were determined. I know it's probably 100 times harder with the family. I don't have that experience, but you could, if you wanted, move somewhere for a month with them and it would be way less difficult than you think.
So of course, we're going to talk about business and stuff, but you've got a very, I've actually talked about you a little bit not too long ago. Martha Woodard was, I don't know if your ears were burning about 3 weeks ago, but I was at Top Golf with her, and she's trying to get me to go to an event in San Diego that you're going to be a speaker at. So you own businesses, you speak at things. That's awesome. We're going to talk about that, but have you been just the guy your whole life that you knew you were just gonna, be this nomad and go around, or did it just kind of happen and you're the kind of guy that's like, I do what I want?
God, a bit of both. I've always loved traveling. I've done it as much as I could. I don't want to say it's built into me or something, but I really, something about traveling is so important to me and like learning about different people and perspectives, mm-hmm. not on a superficial level where you travel somewhere for a few days and then leave. I like staying in a place for a few months and really meeting people, making friends there, learning about the local culture. Like there's something about traveling and experiencing the world in that way that is just like a big part of who I am. So that's just there, man.
Yeah. That's, I don't know. I've had some acquaintances in the past that do similar things. And of course you get to observe people all the time online. And, I don't know. It's just fascinating to me because I've pretty much just been a homebody, my whole life. Like I said, I've thought that I've really taken life, by the horns because I decided to move to Florida and live by Mickey Mouse, which I'm going to be honest, is kind of cool living down here. with Mickey Mouse. Me and him, we're tight, you know. So business. Now, what I do know about you, I didn't know about the virtual assistant company, and I didn't know about the hiring company or whatever it was that you had referred to it, but I knew about the cleaning company. I didn't realize you were as young as you were. I thought you were just a young looking dude, but you know, now I'm a little more impressed because you started a company in DC, correct? Is that where the cleaning company was? Washington?
Yeah. DC? We're still based in DC. Yeah.
So you still own that company?
Yeah. I still own all my companies. I haven't closed any. So I can give you like a,
yeah. Well, yeah. Tell us. I mean, and you don't got to make it quick. So, you know, because what I know, and I'll say this, I know this is going to interest anyone listening or watching right now. But so you're a 25-year-old dude. You're about to tell us how long ago it was you started a company. You obviously have successfully, we'll just say systemized or automated it, you know, whatever buzzword we want to use, because you're in freaking Tokyo and you own a company in DC. And it's doing pretty dang well, I think, right?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I don't know if you want me to share numbers or not, but our last month was around 60,000. So
that's awesome.
It was doing pretty well.
Yeah,
and it's not giant, but it's good.
Well, and if you've been watching my stuff, you know I tend to be an open book, and I don't expect any of my guests to be, but you can be as open as you want to be or as closed as you want to be on any of that stuff. So you knock yourself out there. But so let's just talk about that for a second. So let's just talk about the beginning. Why did you start a cleaning company? That just doesn't seem fun.
I came to it in a really weird way. So I have a very close friend, a guy called Amin. We became close and met each other when I was in South Korea. And I was very kind of unsure of what I wanted to do with life. I knew I wanted to travel, but I didn't know how to get there where I could have a traveling lifestyle. And so I was kind of conflicted between being an entrepreneur and being a web developer, because I was okay at the basics.
Yeah.
And I was really having that struggle between working for someone else or working for myself, going the safe route or, you know, going the business owner route. Yep. And he's going to be a really big entrepreneur, man. He really will be. It's really in him. And so we had so many talks at night about what we wanted to do in life. And through the talks with them, I kind of solidified that I wanted to be a business owner. And
now, how old were you during this chapter right here?
22.
So about three, 4 years ago.
Yeah, about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I really decided I wanted to be a business owner, but I didn't know how to get there. I just knew that I didn't want to do like a typical tech startup or like, you know, business app or all the stuff that everyone else is doing. I just thought that was all hype and not a lot of substance for the most part. Mm-hmm. And
you didn't want to create your own like surprise box of the month club or anything like that, you know?
respect to all the people who do that, but I just, they're like, I want something with more than fluff on top, yeah. You know? So
yeah, no, I got you. That's what everyone wants to do, is that other stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Different strokes for different folks, but it just didn't appeal to me at all. I read the news articles and I'm sick of it. Like if I'm sick of it before I even start it, didn't want to do it. But, I discovered this, like, certain types of business owners who were not like, you know, 50-year-old, much older business owners who'd had their local businesses since the 70s or 80s. I discovered some local business owners who just the last few years had been able to start local businesses and grow them really big, really quickly using a lot of modern marketing. And I thought it was really cool how people were taking this old school type of business and applying like new school, like software as a service marketing techniques to grow it, even though they were different types of businesses. It started to make me think about local businesses a lot. And I started looking around my area at cleaning companies and painting companies. And I noticed a few things that kind of triggered the an opportunity this year. And I noticed that most of them don't pick up their phones. Most of them are terrible at consistency. They don't have any reliability. A lot of their workers don't show up. I was looking at basically all the 1-star and 2-star reviews and finding out all the consistent problems between the companies. And there was just a lot of problems that were really basic: customer service, reliability, things that you need to get down if you're going to be a proper business.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a lot of these companies in DC didn't have that down. And so I started thinking, like, look, their marketing, like, it's 1990. I know I can figure out how to market it like it's 2016 or 2016 at the time, through things like Thumbtack. So if I can get the customer service down, if I can just get, if I can answer my phones and I could, if I can get a couple good teams, then I can do this. And I'll treat it as a side project at first. I'm not going to try and build some multi-million dollar cleaning company, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of naturally gravitated towards this idea over a couple months, and I was like, screw it. I'm just going to try it. Like, I'm going to throw up a website. I'm just going to put $100 into paid advertising, and I'm just going to figure it out. So that's what I did before I even had my first team. I made a Thumbtack account, and I studied what all the top pros on Thumbtack were doing in my area. I studied their templates, how they responded, how they followed up with people. And I basically took those and I improved upon them and made my own sequence where I would follow up.
So you're one of those guys that you were putting in our request for quotes and making me give you my quote, and you weren't even going to buy from me.
Oh, but I made sure they get refunded after 48 hours. So I made sure I never tossed the money.
I'm kidding. Yeah. I've never done that to any of my competitors. You know, I've never done that. So ever.
I felt a little bad, but I found out that if you don't reply after 48 hours, they get refunded the credits. So yeah. I was like, all right, that's not too bad then. I just won't reply.
Yeah, but, and of course I'm kidding. You know, I'm only teasing. So, but carry on. This is great. Interesting.
Yeah. So I basically, I developed my own Thumbtack sequence, and it was most people really just, they send you their initial quote and then they never follow up. Whereas I would send the initial quote. When they viewed the quote, I would send them a thank you for viewing message. Then I would send them one that afternoon. If they didn't reply, I'd send them one the next day, 2 days after, 3 days after. I would consistently follow up with each person I sent. And we got a huge amount of customers that way. And also by replying at night. So most local businesses are open 9 to 5, and after 5 p.m. they shut off, they don't care. I didn't do that. I would reply, I put Thumbtack notifications on my phone. I'd reply from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. Whoever sent in a quote, I would get all the customers at night because everyone else was closed. So I found out little tricks and ways to just take advantage that other people weren't doing, to take advantage of the opportunities on there. So I started getting a lot of initial customers from Thumbtack, and I freaked out the first customer that I got, because I was like, well, I don't have a team and I better get one. So so I went to good old Craigslist and I got a couple teams, and the first clean went well, but the second clean did not so much.
So can you share what happened, or is that something that you can't or won't talk about?
Yeah, so I got two initial teams, and one of them was my A team for a very long time, but the second clean, we did a move out clean for a 4-bedroom, 4-bathroom house, and the cleaner that I sent, she didn't bring any supplies. She just like brought toilet paper and was like cleaning the floor and the walls with toilet paper. And I didn't believe the customer at first. And the customer was like, look, this lady didn't clean anything. She just had rolls of toilet paper in the corner. And I was like, no, this, I was like, not really. Right. So I went to check it out, and sure enough, she had cleaned the house with toilet paper.
So when you started, I mean, is it fair to say then when you're doing this, you definitely didn't have like all your ducks in a row? You were kind of like, hey, I can sell this stuff. And then you're like, oh crap, I actually have to do it too. I mean, is that kind of what happened there? Is like you're like, you market it, you sell it. And then it's like, oh shit, you know, here now we've got to actually do the work.
Yeah, it was that a little bit. But it was that. It was a lot of stress. That first 6 months was probably the most stressful period of my life, man. Like,
really?
Because I was a full-time student. I was running a business and growing it. It was a lot going on, but it was all good. It was honestly the most important thing I had to learn was like transitioning out of my business and letting other people like handle a lot of it for me.
Did you do any of the work yourself as far as the cleaning ever, or was it always other people doing that?
I did the occasional clean when all my teams called off. I didn't want to disappoint my customer and just cancel on them. So I would clean, but the focus was really on building a sustainable business. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to not be in the field as much as I can. So if I could reschedule customers, I would. But if I couldn't, then I would go do it. I've actually got a good story about this.
Let's hear the bad story. Those are the best.
So, and this is kind of how I started my second company as a side note, but I started this in July 2016, and we had grown so fast that we were doing about 20K plus a month in less than 90 days.
Oh, wow.
And so we'd grown pretty quickly. Although I know maybe for window washing, not so impressive in season, but for a cleaning company, that was quite fast.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm telling you right now, a company like what we're doing, I don't know guys that are doing those kind of numbers, even starting up at the beginning of a busy season. That's very impressive.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was quick and it was fun, but it was also really stressful because I was learning customer service. I was learning how to deal with complaints. There was all the rough stuff. It was like a very rough business since I didn't have a lot of systems or automations or anything in place yet. I was learning how to do that, but it all kind of came to a head Halloween 2016. See, I was still a new business owner at the time, and I wasn't thinking that my teams would want time off to be with their family too. And so I had a rush of people booking me for Halloween Eve and Halloween Day to clean their houses. And I was excited. I was like, yeah, so many people are booking. I've got 10 bookings a day. This is crazy. I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. And Halloween Eve, half my teams called off and they were like, look, we're not going. Sorry. We want to be with our families. And I was like, you know, in hindsight, fair enough to them. I wish they gave me more notice, but I get it. You know, yeah. That was me not thinking that through. And so half my teams called off and I had about a dozen cleans that were not covered. Oh, man, I screwed up big because every single cleaning company and independent cleaner, everyone was either off or fully booked already. So I couldn't reschedule the customers and I really dropped the ball. So they were pretty angry at me. Mm-hmm. And fair enough. I screwed up their Halloween cleaning, you know? So I was sitting in my desk, like just like sitting back and like absorbing like a dozen angry people emailing me and texting me and calling me. And it was just like hit after hit after hit. And I was like, God, I'm so overwhelmed. And I had to go. I went to clean this lady's house and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever cleaned. I won't get too graphic, but it was pretty rough. So cleaners deal with some bad stuff.
No, I can only imagine. So, you know, in my former life, you know, former career, I was in the security industry. That was, electronic security. So burglar alarms, fire alarms, access control, stuff like that. And I started out as a technician. So I started out as a residential installer. And man, when you go into people's homes, of course, I wasn't cleaning their stuff, but I still had to wade through all that shit, you know, and, yeah. You know, you come across actual hoarders. I remember one of the most nasty ones I ever dealt with. They had this little room, like they took their garage and then kind of just like cut off the back of it and made it like a bathroom. And then they decided to dedicate this bathroom to their cats. And they had a freaking litter box in this bathroom, because I had to go put a door contact, you know, the litter box was just take your worst imagination. Okay. And you use your imagination. I won't go, you know, describe it. And that was that. And that was the clean one, because of the nasty one, when it got bad, they decided to just set it in the bathtub. So the bathtub is full of this terrible one. And I'm like, I have to work on this door. And I remember I would walk outside and catch me, you know, breathe in, and then I'd hold my breath and have to go work on this door contact, and then I'd go back outside, you know, and have to do it again. So I have an appreciation for what you're saying, because I didn't have to even clean the stuff, at least. So good for you for sticking that out. But let me tell you something that I love. And I apologize if you haven't finished your story. I'm the king of interruptions. So
no worries, no worries.
But as you're telling this whole story, I think, and for you listeners out there, I know most of my audience is new guys that, you know, you're kind of like where I am. You're trying to break through and do your thing. Maybe you're not even as far down the road as me and you're even newer. I think what I'm loving about this story is that Chris, first off, did not wait for everything to be perfect. You were just like, you know what? I can do this. And you didn't have your operation stuff all lined out. You didn't go out, I don't think, and spend all this money on fancy equipment and whatever. You were like, hey, I'm going to study people. I'm going to get my marketing plan in place, and then I'm going to execute on it. And you did that. And then you know, what I've always said from the beginning with our business is I want to sell myself into an operations problem. So that's probably why I'm loving your story, is like you did what I'm still kind of trying to do, quite frankly. But then even though I don't know kind of like the middle, I know the end of the story because I'm talking to you right now and you're in freaking Japan and you got a business that's running over here, you know, in the States plus two others. So here's a story of a guy that's you started in June or July and then here it is October and you're having kind of a catastrophic failure, you know, within your business, you know, because that could have been bad. You know, you had a dozen, you know, clients, they could have, every one of them may have given you a bad review on Thumbtack or Google or whatever. And, you know, you're laying back in your couch just like, and I know that feeling when you're talking about being bombarded with emails and text messages. I had an issue today with a customer and not even a major one. And it still gets me, you know, just on. So I'm like sitting here and I'm like, here's this guy that could easily roll over and quit. And I think most people do, but we can fast forward and see. And here's the moral to the story, guys, is you don't have to freaking be perfect. You just have to be consistent. And you got to keep moving forward, you know? So here's Chris who's getting like kicked in the stomach and then punched in the mouth, but you're still standing, right? It's all still good.
It's all still good. I mean, do you remember the first time you get a bad review? It felt catastrophic, right?
Oh my God. Like, yes.
This is done. Like the first time.
and the kind of guy I am, I have two emotions going on. My first one is pit in my stomach. I'm like, oh my God. Cause I got a 3-star review actually while I was at a convention in Atlanta a couple of months ago or a month ago or so. And I'm hanging out with a bunch of friends. We're in a hotel lobby, just kind of chilling, having a good time. I get a notification and a 3-star review comes through and I'm just pit in my stomach. And I'm like, no one will use me. No one will ever use this again. And then my other feeling, my other emotion is I'm going to track that son of a bitch down and he's going to regret. Of course. And I didn't, and I wouldn't. That's just how I feel, you know, when
I get this. Yeah, man. Likewise. Like for me, I got a 1-star review. Like this lady, we did not do a 1-star job, but she gave us a 1-star review for this job. And, I remember thinking I was sitting there like on Yelp. Yelp was not even a big source of business for us. But I was like, online reputation is so big and everything. So I got this 1-star review and I was like, oh my God, we had a perfect 5-star rating. We were so high in the Yelp algorithms. Now we're going to go low. It's going to dry up. Nothing's going to come. Like exactly the same, man. One review, like really, it's like a kick in the nuts. You're just down. But now we've had a few bad reviews and we still get the vast majority are good reviews, but we get a few bad reviews. It doesn't hurt as much now, but it still hurts a little bit. It's still almost feels like a betrayal, right? And you're like, I really... That's
exactly what it feels like, is it? Because you're like, I gave my heart and soul to this, and this is what you give me back? Yeah, I'm with you on that. So as I interrupted, so you're sitting on the couch or in your chair, you're feeling the punch to the stomach every time a text or an email comes in. What happens? You just said, okay, Halloween's over, time to start over? I mean, was there... how do you get through that time?
Sure. I'll never forget it. I went to this lady's house to clean and I was cleaning pubic hair on my knees with a razor off their bathtub floor. And I was thinking, screw this team who called off. And I was thinking, I can't do this. If I want to travel, if I want to do this stuff, I have to get past this stage. This is not sustainable. And so I started looking at like office managers. And I started realizing, oh my God, it's so expensive to have an office manager. You have to have rent benefit. Like you have to pay for office rent benefits. You have to pay them like $40,000-$50,000 a year. Like it's so crazy expensive to buy an office manager. Like there's no way I could afford it at the stage that I was. Like in the cleaning industry, for, you may know this as well, but in the house cleaning industry, there's a stage of your business called like the Valley of Despair. It's between $200,000 to $500,000 a year in revenue, where you're busy enough that you're getting overwhelmed, but you don't make enough to hire someone to help you, right?
Yeah. So with that, in our industry, they so I'm being told, and I'm entering, is it's basically around $300,000 or $400,000 to $1 million. That's
okay.
No man's land, so to speak. So yeah.
So yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you're like, what do I do? And so I started, you know, I'm a big Tim Ferriss fan. So I started thinking about virtual assistants and I was like, well, could I find a virtual assistant who used to run an office and train them to run my cleaning business for me? And the big benefit of virtual assistant is they're an independent contractor and you pay them for the time they work, not to sit around. Like with an office manager, you're paying them 8 hours a day, right? 40 hours a week. Yeah. Virtual assistant, you pay them for the cumulative amount of time they've worked throughout the day. And so I started thinking, I can't afford a full-time office manager. but I probably can afford to put, you know, $800-1200 aside, cut into my margins a little bit to have someone run the front end of it for me if I train them well. So I started looking around, and I found this virtual assistant in New Hampshire, and I trained her to run, you know, handle the phones for me, handle the scheduling, manage teams for me, where, you know, if the teams didn't show up or if they were lost, she would communicate with the customer. Mm-hmm. I basically trained her to be a part-time office manager for me, and she handled a big part of the daily operations so that I could focus on the marketing and the sales. And it was a little expensive at the time, but it was the best decision I've ever made, because it allowed me to free myself from my business before anyone else in my position has been able to. I would have had to grow 2 or 3 or 4 times as big before I was able to do that. And I don't think I would have been able to do that as a full-time student. I think it would have been too much. So I trained this lady basically bit by bit to handle all the tasks that I do in my daily business. And she started handling 80-90% of all the daily tasks in my business. And the only things I ended up doing at the end of 2 months, like 2 months later, was doing the basic marketing, like Thumbtack, Yelp replies. I even started getting a reply to Yelp. So I went from working, you know, 10 hours a day to about 10 to 15 minutes a day in over the course of 2 months. So,
wow. So you did agree that, you know, before we started, I remember you and I were talking before we started recording that you were going to give me a lot of free coaching on how to automate my business, right? After this.
Sure, man. No, I'm actually happy to stay on and chat if you want after.
Absolutely. No, listen, that's okay. So that's cool. As you're saying all this stuff, my mind's just like racing. I'm like, okay, this is what I've got to do in my business, because I'm kind of at a point right now where I'm like, I don't know what I am. It's like, I'm not out cleaning anymore, but I am involved, you know, like today I ran, I don't know, 5 sales appointments or something like that. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, as I'm just setting up appointments, you know, it's not like a sales, you know, it's not like I'm doing a salesperson's job where I'm required to go out and get all these self-generated things. I mean, it's just like I'm paying for marketing, leads are coming in, and I just kind of go take the order. And I'm like, I could pay someone to do this. And it they don't even really got to be like a salesperson. They just need to be a personable person that can go take an order, you know, kind of thing. So, I don't know if you know it, but you're inspiring me right now as far as what you're saying. Cause I'm like, I just see this guy that's in Tokyo and I'm like, man, I want to be in Tokyo. You know, there's like a really awesome, there's an awesome Disney park. You know, do you ever go to Disney there in Tokyo?
Yeah. Me and my girlfriend went to, there's two actually, there's Disneyland and Disney Sea,
which is crazy. Disney Sea is amazing, right?
It was cool, man. It was really cool. Even for people our age, it was really good. It was not just like a kid's type of park.
So, sorry. So as I rabbit trail, forgive me, guys. I love Disney World, but so you hire the virtual assistant. 2 months later, you're paying someone not even full time pay because they're virtual and just doing what they're doing, and you're working an hour and a half a week. Is that basically what you're getting at?
Yeah. Well, at the beginning, it was probably like. It went from like 10 hours a day to maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours a day. So I was still working 8 to 10 hours a week, but 2 months later I was working about an hour and a half. I was doing the basic marketing and the payroll, and that was literally it. Like they were handling, like, here's one of the mistakes I think people make as local business owners. I talk to a lot, my virtual assistant company, we run about 50
local businesses. Let me grab my pen. All right. I'm ready.
Sure. Let's do this. So like for just where I'm coming from, I've talked to a lot of local business owners. We run about 50 companies for the owners now. And there's a few things that is really consistent. And one of the biggest ones is, as a local business owner, because you're local, your business is physical service. Mm-hmm. You, the owner, feel like you have to physically be there and do the work, but you don't. In 2018, 95% of the work that you need to do for your business, you can do from a laptop or a phone, which means someone else can do it from a laptop or a phone too. You don't have to rent an office space out. You have to be a pretty big service business to really justify an office space in 2018. I think you can rent a closet out for supplies or something, but you really don't need an office space anymore. Yeah. And you don't need that cost. You don't need to physically be in the same city for the vast majority of the time, because your teams, if you're not doing the work yourself anymore, your teams are the ones doing the work. That means you don't have to be there. You don't even have to be in the same city. So that the biggest mistake I think is feeling like you have to be there because it traps you inside your own business. It's kind of a mental prison in a way. You geographically lock yourself to the area where your business is, and that can affect your life in many other ways. So that's a big one. The other two are not putting systems in your business. And I know people, they use the word systems a lot, but they never explain what it means. If you don't put proper like procedures in place, you're still doing all the work and all the information is stuck in your head. So when you want to hire someone to do the work for you, if you've never written it down, it's going to take a really long time to train them because you have to slowly pull it out almost like torture from your head to teach them these things. So when a lot of people have tried an assistant, but they you know, fire them after a week or a month and they thought it wasn't working. And most of the time,
I did that. I hired a answering service / virtual assistant company and ended up getting rid of them because I couldn't make it work.
Yeah. I don't know the specifics of that company. So I don't know how they operated, but for people who hire assistants independently, a lot of people, like, they start their assistant day one or week one and they go, okay, go, you can do it now. Mm-hmm. But there's no training. There's no procedures written down. So what I mean by procedures is like really granular. Like, don't just say like a high level, this is how we do something. Like if you want them to be able to respond to complaints, for example, you want to give them a list of how you responded to 5 complaints in your business. And you want them to study that. And then you want them to send you back a reply as if they were you to show you how they would reply to that complaint. If you want them to do follow-up, don't just say follow-up calls. Do say something like this. At 5 p.m., the end of day, can you call all the customers we did service for that day and talk to them about leaving a review and talk to them about recurring service? Maybe offer them $75 off, $25 off their next 3 services. Offer them an incentive to become a regular customer. Then follow up the next day and see if they've thought about it. Then follow up a week later. Like, write down literal checklists. Everything, even if it's like a really basic procedure that you think is basic, someone else might not know how to do it. So you want to spend a few days writing down checklists of how you do things. So when you find yourself doing a task, just stop, open up a Word document and write down how you're doing that task. So a lot of people, they don't go into enough detail about how to train their people. So that's probably a big one. And then the third one is not knowing how to delegate properly. That's a whole nother conversation. But one super simple system I recommend for how to people to delegate is don't just tell people how to do a task, like do task A, then do task B. Give them a super simple structure. Like, 2 that I always recommend is the ABCDE system and batching. So, oh, am I talking too fast, by the way?
Nope, keep going. I'm just ABCDE system. So what is that? I have no idea.
Sure. So this is just like a, like, you know, like all the to-do list softwares and getting shit done method. Mm-hmm. They're all like really complicated, like books worth of material. I throw away all that and I say, look, that's too complicated. Just take all your tasks and organize them in order of importance and assign a letter grade to them. So your most important tasks for the day and the week are your A tasks. Your important tasks are your B tasks. All the way down to E. Sorry, I get so many notifications. Sure. All the way down to E. Where it's kind of like it's unimportant, but eventually get it done. So pair all your tasks to a level of importance and then organize them in your to-do list or your notepad or whatever you use. Then 2 more steps. The second step is to take all your C, D, and E tasks and delegate them to another person, because those are the tasks that other people can do that you don't need to be doing. So you can focus on your A and your B tasks, because you only should be focusing on your A and your B tasks. You should not be focusing on the other stuff. Otherwise, you're going to get caught in the trap of doing a bunch of little to-dos, but never doing the big ones that actually advance your business. And the other one is batching. There are a lot of small tasks that your VA or your office manager will need to do, and that some that you'll need to do. And what I do is I choose 2 to 3 periods throughout the day, like 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. And I take all the small tasks and interruptions throughout the day. I'm sorry, man.
Don't worry about it. It's not a problem. So yeah, keep going. It's no big deal.
That's actually my to-do list popping me up, reminding me of stuff. Speaking of to-do lists, but and when you batch, you take all the small tasks and interruptions throughout the day and you put them, and you say, I'm going to ignore them until it's batching time. So I'm going to ignore them until 9, 10 a.m. I'm going to ignore them until 4 to 5 p.m. And this was a really hard one for me to do, but things like complaints you don't need to respond to them in 5 minutes. You actually can wait a few hours to respond. So instead of reading a complaint and letting it ruin your whole day, just note, hey, I got a complaint, respond to it at 4 p.m. in my next period. So I hope that made sense, but yeah, all it really
that's good stuff, man. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I can't wait to go back and listen to this. listen to this stuff. So can I ask you a few questions? I mean, let's just, we'll just use me as an example. I mean, I'm definitely not trying to get any free coaching here at all, but you know, I'm sure people that are listening to this are probably wanting having the same question. So a guy like me, so my business, I'm at a point where I'm about to have a second crew out doing all the work, you know, window cleaning, pressure washing and stuff. And I've hired a bookkeeper and an accountant, so I don't do that stuff because I freaking hate it and it makes my eyes cross. And that's kind of all I've hired, you know, like I pay for a few services that help me make life easier. But if it's not accounting / bookkeeping, and if it's not pressure washing or window cleaning, I do it. Okay. So what would be, you know, in your opinion, you know, a guy that's at my phase that has a goal to, you know, I think my goal is of revenue is becoming less important to me and an automated business that I don't necessarily want to like be away. I just want to be like, I want to be here in Orlando. I just want to be at Universal Studios instead of running self appointments. You know what I mean? So same thing as you, just a different geographic location. What's an A and B task for a guy at my stage, and what's a C, D, and E task for people like me?
Very good question. Sorry, I'm just putting on my glass. So as an example of like, I guess each one, I'll just open up my to-do list and I'll let you know.
All right. Yeah, let's do this.
Might be easier.
This is cool. This is good stuff. I'm having a good time. So.
Sure. So I'm okay sharing this. So you can file for a tax extension until October. And I did that because I was so busy in April. So my A task right now is compiling the rest of my tax stuff to send to my accountant. Mm-hmm. So that's my A task right now. That'd be an example of A task. Another A task that I have right now is recently I've been paying a lot more attention to my VA business and my new hiring platform. And so unfortunate as it is, my cleaning business hasn't been growing as quickly. So I've been finishing up a get back on track plan for getting back on track and actually implementing that to start growing again. And one of the big ones that we've been needing to do for a while is going over this plan with my manager since I've started implementing stuff. So the other A task I have for my cleaning business is finishing up this plan and actually getting started with it since I've been putting it off.
Now, I wasn't listening close enough. So the back on track plan, I think is what you called it. Is that an A or a B for you right now?
That's an A because I have it due this week. So it's really important. I'm trying to think of a more immediate example, actually. Sorry, I have so many to-do lists.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to pretend that I know what you would think. So if you were in my shoes today because of how you've built your business and what your priorities were, and again, I think mine are very similar. You know, I've talked a lot about like the fruity drink on the beach. You know, it's like I want to have a business that allows me to just, you know, chill and do my thing. Sales appointments, stuff like that. Would that be a C, D, or E in your book?
Well, sales appointments are really important, man. That's how you grow your business,
well,
right?
Well, they are, but are small tasks.
Here's the thing. We're at two different stages of business, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I have a sales team. So sales appointments for me are a C, D, E task because I'm delegating them to someone else. For you, because you do not have a sales team, they would be an A or B task. Because if you don't do those, your business is going to stagnate, right?
But so if you're in my shoes, you know, as much as you know what my shoes are, you know, right now, when do you try to make that, turn that into a C, D, or E? Do you run towards that? Or, you know, how did you handle it? Because it seems like you got there pretty quick.
So I'm just trying to think this through to rephrase it. Do you mean how I moved from those being A tasks to being C tasks, like that transition?
Well, I guess actually probably what I'm asking is not how you did it, because that seems simple. You know, you hire people, you train them, you delegate. I think for me, it was more maybe the philosophy behind when you should do it. So when's a guy like me or a guy that was like you a couple years ago, when's the right time, or is there a right time to do something like that?
Sorry, it was just not going through at first. I got it now. That's a really good question. A big part of it is just having an honest conversation about yourself with your goals. Like, a lot of people get really focused on their revenue number. I think in your Reddit post, you said you had a specific revenue goal, 400,000 a year, I believe it was.
This year, yeah.
This year. I think you'll get it, man. But
fingers crossed.
Yeah, you got it. Having an honest conversation with yourself. So for some people, it will be revenue. Other people, it'll be a goal, like an automated business, like it was for me. So for me, and then I'll go through for you. I had an honest conversation about myself on that Halloween day about me wanting to travel. And so I knew two things. I had to be able to delegate enough people that I could travel anywhere in the world and my business wouldn't burn. And the other thing was that I'd be able to earn enough money to, you know, live off that pretty well. And so I had to figure out what revenue number I'd have to hit with a specific profit margin where I'd be able to pay this person, I'd be able to pay the marketing, and I'd be able to pay myself wage. And when I worked that out, I worked out what the revenue number was that I needed to hit as long as I have those profit margins. So that was for my goal. For you, your goal is more to spend more time with your family, to spend more time in, you know, Universal Studios, right?
Yeah.
So
or Disney World, like, either one.
And this is actually not to take up too much time on this topic, but this is actually an important thing that people don't think about when they hire help. You have your revenue number that you're doing right now, and your profit margin is artificially higher because you're still working in the business. So you're able to pay yourself more because you're doing the work, right?
Yep.
But when you hire help, you're paying the help to do the work instead of yourself. So your revenue number might even go up, but your pay will go down for a while. Mm-hmm. And so there's this really awkward transition period where you're transitioning out of the business and someone else is transitioning in, and you have to grow it enough to pay yourself the same amount or a slightly reduced amount for a while. And so you'll know it's the right time to make that transition. First, when you have that conversation about yourself, about what you want. And second, when you've got a good plan with the math behind it, where you know you'll be able to pay yourself the same amount that you're paying yourself now when you have help doing the work for you.
Yeah.
So just as an example.
So the short answer, you give an example. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sure. So just as an example, back then I was paying myself $3,000 a month, which is it's not some stellar salary, but it was okay as a student, right?
And better than it was most students.
Exactly. And I was really happy with that. And what I knew was when I traveled abroad, America's really expensive, and DC's crazy expensive, man. It's crazy expensive. And so I knew wherever I went, it would be not as expensive as DC. So I figured out if I could pay myself $2,500 a month, I could be okay. And so I had to work out. I had to basically say, I'm going to take a pay cut of $500 a month and I'm going to put that $500 a month towards the virtual assistant. But I also want to have a $1,000 buffer for when I'm busy and the virtual assistant needs to do more work. So I set a budget of $1,500 a month for the virtual assistant. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, $2,500 to me, $1,500 for the virtual assistant. That means my business has to have profit margins that will give me at least $4,000 a month after all expenses and payroll. And so I was able to work out the revenue number from that. But sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, you're not interrupting at all. That's I think you kind of answered what I was about to go to. I forgot. So, I think what I was going to say, you know, for me, just two guys talking here. In that honest conversation you're talking about, I'm changing. I'm less concerned with revenue. Like, I've set an aggressive. I don't even know if I'm going to hit my revenue goal this year, but I've already set a revenue goal for next. Well, I've already set my goal for next year, which is 800,000. I don't know how the hell I'm going to hit 400,000 this year. And I'm like, I'll do 800 next year. And then I've set a goal of 1.1 for 2020. And, you know, me trying to get out of, I've been calling it no man's land. I forget what you referred to.
Valley of Despair.
Of Despair. Yeah. So that's a better term. I think I'll start using Valley of Despair. But I thought everyone says once you get past a million, it's not that it's smooth sailing, but that's a company like mine. That's when they have good cash flow, you know, at that point, and the capital to do things. So I thought, oh, I'll try to push through that real quick. But now I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know, I don't know. I like the idea of being off at 10 a.m. every day and so on and so forth. So that's a conversation I've got to have with myself. So this is good stuff. So A, B, C, D, E, you're saying what a lot of people say, which is we've ultimately just got to stop doing the $10 an hour tasks. You know, if right. as an owner, if I'm doing things that I guess I'm kind of a fool when I'm doing those things. You know, like I spent a whole day on Friday putting together an EDDM mail out to go out. And as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, why am I printing off papers, writing one of eight, two of eight, three of eight, and putting it in bundles? You know, this is, I could be making more money doing something else. So, okay. What's the next secret? So what's my next step to success here?
So you hire an office manager, right? Mm-hmm. Or a virtual office manager, however you do that, right? To handle a lot of the admin tasks. The next step is to hire experts to replace yourself. So you would hire an expert off of Fiverr or someone who has a ton of EDDM experience. You'd hire them to do it for you. You would hire someone to do your AdWords for you. You'd hire someone to do your thumbtack for you. I mean, I still do my thumbtack because I happen to be really good at it. Mm. But I basically templatized everything and sent it to my virtual assistants to do. You want to hire experts to replace it. You don't want to hire someone to do everything for you. You want to hire experts for as many things as you can. So hire an expert for sales, hire an expert for AdWords, hire an expert for everything, you know? So get experts to do each part of your business for you that you're doing now slowly, because that's how you replace yourself over time. Like the thing is, like, as a business owner, I feel like local business owners like us, we don't think this way because we're not a big multi-billion-dollar corporation. But at the top of a multi-billion-dollar corporation, the CEO is not doing daily stuff like this. Yeah. They're doing meetings, they're networking, they're forming partnerships, right? They're doing high level goal setting. Like when I say set a revenue number, what I'm really saying is set your goal and then set the revenue number to get to that goal. So the so find the goal behind the revenue number, right?
Yep.
So you need to start finding ways to act like a big time CEO, not letting it get to your head or anything, but yeah, you need to find ways to structure your day like a big time CEO so you can focus on those important things instead of focusing on the office stuff or the marketing or the sales. There are experts for all of those things, and you're not an expert at those things. You're meant to be the expert at leading all of them towards your goal, but you're not meant to be doing that stuff. So you need to find ways to offload the small tasks first. And once you have some more cash flow and once you have good people doing those small tasks for you, you can start gradually offloading bigger tasks to people. So,
Chris, okay. First off, Chris, thanks so much. This is good stuff. So I fell into what I think was a trap, you know, with what you're talking about, some of this stuff fairly early on. So you tell me if you think the way I look at this is incorrect, because this is advice I've given people before. Because if I wanted to like really dumb down what you're saying, like if I like really like first grade level, it would be like work on your business, not in it, right? I mean, that's kind of like the very, you know, surface level thing. Now, when I started this business, you know, I started it in February, and all I did for, you know, 3 months was basically I woke up, and if I had a job to clean something, I went out and cleaned it. And if I didn't, I was walking into businesses or handing out flyers at, on residential locations. And that's it. That was like my whole life if it was daylight out. And then I started seeing people talk about working on your business, not in it. Of course, I read the E-Myth.
Yeah.
You see people online that talk about how you're a fool if you're working in your business. And I don't think they actually have a business. I think those guys just have a job. They just like saying that stuff. Yeah. And so I thought I was going to be a big boy and start working on my business. And and I don't even know what the hell I was doing. I just basically sat in front of my computer and stared at, you know, Excel for 6 hours a day. You know, I don't know what I was doing, but I had my worst revenue month, you know, 5 months in. Month five was far worse, was almost half of what month one was, you know. It's like, and what had happened was I started focusing on, you know, that trying to be that CEO guy, you know, like the guy that's doing the high level stuff. And for me, what I think happened, you know, so my revenue tanked, I'm panicking, I can't pay my bills. And, you know, and I came out of that because I just went back to the basics of, you know, handing out flyers, running sales appointments, cleaning stuff, going back to handing out flyers. So to paint that picture, here's my question for you. For the new guy listening, is it important that you actually create a business that you can work on before you actually start working on it? You know what I mean? Like, there's a time and a place that it is healthy to be the guy doing that stuff at the infancy, because you don't have the money and the revenue to pay other people to do it. And, well, probably not, you know. And it has to get done. You can't spend all day working on copy for your website. You've got to be doing that hard stuff that gets the initial deal flow coming in. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, totally agree. That's actually a really important point you put up, is don't do something before you're not ready to do it, right? Like, man, I have so many people like try and book calls with me who have never owned a business, and they read my story somewhere on like Time or whatever, and they're like, I want a cleaning business. I can run it with your virtual assistants, right? I don't have to do anything. And I'm like, no, you have to do a lot of really hard things before you can do that. I get so many people who have like $2,000 a month in revenue, and they're like, can I hire one of your virtual assistants? And I'm like, no, man, it's just going to screw you up. Like, you don't know how to do anything yet, you know? So like, you have to do the hard work first and then offload stuff. So I make it sound easy because I've been there and I'm talking about it in the past tense, right? Yeah. I'm not currently in the struggle, so it sounds easy to people, but it's not easy. You have to do pretty much everything in your business at first, for months and months, sometimes even a year or more, or you're ready to hire people. Yep. You have to have a good basic cash flow. You need to know how to answer phone. You need to know how to do sales. You need to know how to do marketing. You need to know how to do all of these things, as tough as they are. Otherwise, when you hand it off to someone, there's no way for you to know if they're going to be doing a good job. You know, you're just trusting them with your business and throwing.
You don't even have an SOP for them at that point. And so I'm glad you agree, because I thought I was leading this in the right direction, but I was like, I better make sure that he feels the same way as me. But I think what happens, because I see people, I've got a very close friend that has been struggling because he, you know, I'm going to use air quotes, and friend, if you're watching, I'm not talking crap on you, but you know, it's true. he has a business, quote unquote, you know, like mine, but he's only willing to build this business if he can do it from his computer chair. And I'm like, dude, well, you know, you don't got 20 grand sitting in the bank for marketing, and he doesn't know how to do the cleaning, and he's not willing to go out and do it. And he can't hire someone that has the experience to help build those systems. I'm just thinking, you know, we've got to get our hands dirty, or, you know, unless you have a significant capital, capital to work with at the beginning and some experience, you've got to get your hands dirty before we have that thing to work on. You know, we got to have the clay before we can mold it, you know, I guess is a good analogy, I think, I hope, you know. So I just came up with that one, so I want credit if anybody uses it. Latimer, I'm talking to you, man. Don't steal my stuff. So your other business. So I mean, I don't want to cut you off here, but I think, you know, I get the point. I think, you know, everyone listening gets the point. So you've got a virtual assistant business. I think we kind of have an idea what that is because you've been talking about it. So tell us a little bit about that. Like, so what have, you know, you, I'm assuming you started it because you saw the need within your own company and you thought, holy cow, this is a great, great business model. Is that the case?
Yeah. One quick clarification for people: as a general guideline, you do not need someone to help you in your business before 10 to 15K a month. That's a baby business, and you got to be doing everything before that point. Just a quick clarification on that. If you have like 6K a month in revenue and you're thinking of getting an assistant, don't, you're going to screw yourself up. So, in terms of this, sorry to keep returning to this. It went back to Halloween day. So I hired this virtual assistant. I trained them, and they were doing so well, I started talking about it naturally. I started talking about it in Facebook groups. I truly had zero intention of turning this into a business. There was absolutely nothing behind my posts. I was just I shared my whole journey of building my cleaning business with people, and they were following along with it. So I was just continuing sharing what I was doing. And as soon as I shared that I had a virtual assistant handling most of it for me, it just exploded. People were messaging me and they were like, oh my God, can you train a virtual assistant for me? This sounds amazing. And I was like, yeah, it is amazing. So I started thinking about it. I didn't commit to it for a few weeks. I started thinking like, I don't know, like I just got my time back. I don't know if I want to start another business. Can I handle two businesses at once? That seems kind of crazy to do it once after I just started getting like into my groove with the first one, really, you know? And I said, okay, I've got a couple good friends who own cleaning businesses. I'll do it for them and I'll see how it goes, right? So a guy in Long Island, New York was my first customer. And a painter in Canada was my second one. So I got three initial customers, friends of mine who own local businesses. And I trained their virtual managers for them, we call them, to handle the same stuff that mine was handling. I trained them on a lot of SOPs. I trained them on how to answer the phone, how to do a lot of these basic things, like what to do when a team doesn't show up and all that common stuff. So I trained it for them. And after a few weeks, I started like getting really good feedback from it. And they were like, wow, you're literally changing my life in a couple of weeks. Like, wow. So I started getting this really powerful feedback from people. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go for it. I have the time now. So I'm going to go all in. I'm going to basically train a team of US virtual assistants to run people's local businesses for them. I've done it on mine. I've done it on a few other people's now. I've got a pretty good idea of how it's going to go. And so I launched it with a Facebook post, really. And I just said, hey guys, look, you know, you followed my journey in my cleaning company, you followed what I'm doing with virtual assistants, and now I want to offer this to all of you. We've got an incredible team of virtual assistants ready to take over your business for you. I know this sounds like a scam, but just look at my results and the other people who are doing this. You may have been in business for 30 years, but I'm here to tell you that you can cut down your time from 10 hours a day to 2 hours a day in less than a month. And we got a bunch of people to sign up for that. And that's kind of how this virtual assistant business started. So it was a pretty crazy beginning.
I don't know what to say. I'm over here. I guess I'm fanboying. I want to be like you when I grow up. So you and me. So I'm trying to remember the first time I think you may have commented on one of my videos, and I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Is you commented on my video, and I started looking you up, and I don't remember what you said. I'm trying to remember if you do, because it was something along the lines of, I thought, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. And do you recall when we first connected? Or
I remember that I did. I definitely did comment on a YouTube video. I think you said something, you were thinking about bringing on help or something at the time. And I think I gave a tip on how to do that. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was like 8 months ago, maybe.
Probably so.
You were sitting in your car, I think, and you were talking about like help or needing to work on your business. And I just gave like a really quick tip on how to do that.
I think, it doesn't matter. And it would be boring for anyone listening if I dug through it, but I'm thinking it may have been an in-depth thing that you shared. But so what are you doing now? I mean, like, where's your time? So you've got these all three businesses. Are they all three, I don't want to say autopilot, maybe that is accurate, maybe it's not, but are they all three running as smooth as the cleaning business as far as your hands-off approach?
Mostly. You know, I will say, when people say their business is an autopilot, 99% of them are lying, man.
Really?
I swear they really are. I think people just use the term wrong. Like when you say autopilot, that means it just does the whole thing by itself. Yeah. You don't count all the people working, like your day may be on autopilot, but your business has a bunch of people working in it and doing a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, my VA company, we have a whole structure. We have a couple managers. We have a VA manager, we have a customer manager, we have a bookkeeper. So we have a structure where people are doing most of the work for me, and I'm forming partnerships with people. Like I gave Joshua Latimer, one of my assistants, for a few weeks, and he really liked what she was doing for him. So we're forming partnerships with people all the time to then offer virtual assistants to their customers too, because they know they can trust us and they know it's going to help their customers. So a lot of my time isn't really spent on the nitty gritty. I don't train VAs anymore. I don't do the onboarding. I don't even do the sales calls. So when someone books a sales call, they're booking a sales call with my manager, Chelsea or Kelly. So I have people doing all the fundamental core stuff of the business, but the only way it really grows is when I do social media marketing, or when I, you know, when I'm forming partnerships with people. So I still definitely do work in my VA company for a few hours a day. And that's mostly stuff to push it forward, but right. I could leave it and it wouldn't fall apart. It would be fine as it is right now.
It just may not, like, it's just not gonna expand or grow at this point if you're not involved daily.
Exactly. That's something I'm actually trying to tackle right now, is to get it to expand without me. And so I've been building out a bigger sales team, like appointment setters and closers. And that's something I'm doing right now, which is a new experience for me. But yeah, right now that's our big struggle. But the hiring platform is, that's so new. It's only about a month old. We're still doing everything together with me and my co-founder. So,
oh, wow.
Okay. So we haven't really built out stuff yet, because it's a totally new type of concept and we don't really, you know, we're feeling things out ourselves. So
tell us about that. And I want to talk to you some more when we get offline, but I want to kind of wind down on the recording here. But before we do, and when we're here at the end, we're going to give everyone an opportunity to know how they can get in touch with you as far as anything you do. If they live in DC and need something cleaned, if they need a virtual assistant or some help hiring. But so this is one that's near and dear to me, because I'm in the middle of this right now. Let's hear about this new project you got going on as far as hiring assistants.
Man, this might be the coolest thing I've done. I really am not pitching myself at all. I'm just ridiculously excited for what we're doing. All right. So the single biggest problem in the whole local business industry is not finding customers. It's finding good teams who are going to stick with you and be reliable, right? Yep. Like, pretty much every local business owner is going to say, I need more good teams. Mm-hmm. They may have enough teams, but they might not be great or reliable. And so finding good teams is like the centerpiece of your local business to do the work for you. And so we're working with like 40 or 50 different local businesses in my VA company right now. And we're intimately working with them. We're not just doing an ad campaign or something. We're running their businesses for them. I have this really unique insight where I'm able to see intimately into a bunch of different people's businesses all around the world. And I'm able to see all the problems they're encountering, the strategies that they use, and all these good stuff. And I saw that everyone had the same problems as me. So I started this platform called Hirey, where we basically, to keep it short, we do an automated campaign where we've put together these really cool campaigns.
But for anyone that's going to be like, that wants to be searching as they're listening to you, how do you spell that?
Yeah, so it's Hirey.com. So Hirey. It's a little hard to spell because it's an awkward word, but
But I thought that might help some guys as they're listening and they can watch along on your website there. So go ahead. My apologies.
Yeah. So me and my co-founder have been thinking for months about how we could basically tackle this problem. And we started testing on our businesses. He used to own a day spa in Arizona. But what we really put together this whole platform, kind of like Thumbtack, but for hiring teams instead of finding customers. Hmm. So we developed a whole matchmaking algorithm. We developed an entire automated ad campaign where someone can sign up with our service and we'll have them running in a day. And we will send them, and we'll manually verify with our virtual assistant team as well. We will send them like cleaners, painters, pressure washers, window washers on autopilot, people who are in their city, who want to work right now, who have the experience and who are basically ready to go. So we put together this whole platform that will connect local businesses with techs for their company who want to do the work. So is it more like
it's like subcontractor type of stuff, or is it looking for me hiring a full-time person, or is it just me of, hey, I have this task and I need someone to go do this one particular thing?
It's for both subcontractors and employees. We have a pretty even mix of customers right now that are subcontractors and employees who need that. Sorry. And it's totally free for the techs. The only people who'd pay are the companies. So yeah, we basically took what Thumbtack was doing and just applied it to finding techs for your
business. That's cool. I look forward to digging into that and learning more about that. So how can people get in touch with you, man? If they want to just reach out to you and talk to you, what's the best way to do that?
Honestly, Facebook or email is good for me. Just facebook.com, just Chris Schwab. I'm a guy doing, if you go on my cover photo, I'm doing a handstand with a bunch of other dudes. So I'm really into hand balancing, which is like a really weird circus art. But I got into it a few years ago. All right. So I do that. So I'm the guy with the handstand in his photo. If you find me on Facebook, you can email me at chris@innovalocal.com. That's my VA company. So
say that again. You said that quick and my Oklahoma ears didn't hear it. Chris at what?
Innovalocal.com. So that's INOVA and then local.com. Okay. So people, I always respond to emails. So if anyone shoots me an email, I'm happy to connect anytime, but I'm pretty friendly. So I'll reply to your Facebook message if you send it to me.
Fair enough. Good stuff. Well, listen, man, anything that you want to get out that we didn't discuss, anything you want to share or how's the weather over in Japan today?
You know, it was killing me when I first came here. It's so humid in this city. It's crazy. Like, really? It's good now. Like, the weather's pretty good today. It's cooling down, but you've never been in a more humid city in your life in the middle of summer.
Even here in, like, in Orlando, Florida?
I've never been to Orlando, so I can't say. I've been to Tampa, but
we get out of the shower, or I do. I get out of the shower and I'm sweating, so it's
but
I'm just trying to one-up you. That's all. I'm just trying to one-up you on the humidity thing.
So. Well, the crazy thing in Japan is they don't turn the air conditioning on that much. Like, they have, like, the whole country, it's really weird. The whole country has, like, a day where they'll turn on their air conditioning. And, like, it's, like, almost taboo to turn it on before then. So you're sitting there, and it's, like, 100 degrees out, and you're just dying inside as you're being baked slowly to death. And you're, like, can we turn on the air conditioning? And they're, like, no. And I'm, like, why are you doing this to me? They'll do the same thing for heaters in winter. It'll be freezing, and it'll be, like, almost snowing, and they just won't turn on that heater until it's the day to turn on the heater.
So over here, it's like, you know, you can wear like white shoes between like Memorial Day and Labor Day, but over there they care about the earth and keep the ACs off instead of worrying about your fashion. That's funny stuff. So
yeah.
Well, listen, man. Thanks for joining me. Let's do this again. Next time we'll come with something prepared and you know, maybe attack a particular subject, but I really enjoyed just kind of chatting and digging into what you were doing. It's been fun connecting with you the little bit that we have, and actually I'm looking forward to a lot more of that going forward. Everyone that's listening, thank you for tuning in. Journey of a New Entrepreneur, iTunes, I think you know that because you're listening to this right now, YouTube and Facebook. So check us out. Thanks for listening. Peace out, guys.